Good evening, folks. My name is Tony Miano. I'm from Faith Community Church in Santa Clarita, California.
Hi, Tony.
Good to meet you. I'm out here this weekend with 50 or 60 of my closest friends to minister with the church family at Pendleton Street Baptist Church here in Greenville. We're out here tonight. We're up and down the street, as many of you probably know already. Probably wondering where you can go to get away from the preaching of the gospel. Well, you can run from the gospel, but you cannot run from your conscience, my friends. We're out here to bring to you the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no better news than salvation by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. There is no other name given among men under heaven by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. He is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. Muhammad cannot save you. Muhammad is dead. Buddha cannot save you. Buddha is dead. The millions of false gods of Hinduism and all the other Eastern pagan religions, they cannot save you. They are dead. They do not exist. The only God who can save you is the only God who created you, the only God who is alive, the only God who defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave, and that is Jesus Christ the Lord. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Whether you're in wanton rebellion against Him tonight, or you know Him as Lord and Savior, you will declare Him Lord. He will either be your Lord and Savior, or He will be your Lord and your judge. You have to understand, my friend, since God created you, He owns you. You are not independent. You are not autonomous. You're certainly not a free thinker. No, you're not a free thinker. You're limited to your sinful nature. You can't think beyond your sin. Come on, don't do a drive-by. Come on. Do not flee. The wicked flee when no one pursues. Come on back. Be a man. Stand by your convictions. Come on. We're not going to hurt you. We don't force anyone to believe by the sword like Islam does. No, my friends, Jesus Christ owns you just as He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Whether you submit to Him or as king at this moment, He is still your king. You don't determine who your king is. You don't determine who the Lord is. And God does not negotiate with sinners like you and me. There are no plea bargains. There are no early kickouts. There's no imaginary place called purgatory. It's either heaven or hell. Our desire for you is that you will one day be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want for you. That's what we want for you. Now, I've heard many professed Christians walking up and down the street when we've handed them a gospel tract. Let me guess, she's a professing Christian that doesn't like the preaching? Imagine that. Ma'am, why are you teaching me how to preach when you've got two beers in your hand, ma'am? That is a little hypocritical, ma'am. A little bit hypocritical. God, ma'am, unless they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, they're condemned already. Yeah, and you're a blasphemer, ma'am, and no blasphemer will enter into the kingdom of God. You blaspheme God. You take His holy name in vain while you're standing there getting drunk while claiming to know Jesus. Yep, that's American evangelicalism for you. Go to church on Sunday, live like hell Monday through Saturday, and think you know God. You go to Sunday and you say, I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, while you trample through His blood the rest of the week. And no blasphemer will enter into the kingdom of God. Yeah, I've heard many Christians, as we're handing out tracts, say, I did that. And twist not scripture lest you be like Satan, sir. Twist not scripture lest you be like Satan. My friends, many people have walked by, and when they're offered a tract, they say, no, I did that already. I done did that. We've heard that over and over again. I done did that. You did what? You prayed a prayer? That means nothing. praying a prayer to ask Jesus into your heart does not make you right with God. I done did that. You did what? You tithe? You give to the church on Sunday? That means nothing. No one is saved by the amount of money they give to a church. I done did that. You did what? You work in a soup kitchen? You work in a soup kitchen? That won't save you either. There's nothing you have done to make yourself right with God. Nothing.
What have you done?
I've done nothing.
Exactly.
You're right, because I'm not saved by what I do. I'm saved by what Christ did. I'm saved by what Christ did. Oh, ma'am, you're a hypocrite, ma'am. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite, ma'am, and the wrath of God abides on you right now. You blaspheme God, and then you say that you've received Jesus. That's hypocrisy. And though you don't care about your soul because you done did that, I do care about your soul. I don't want you to perish in your sin. Sure, go ahead, ask me a question. No, you're not going to ask. The same way the Word of God does. That all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Whether it's lying or stealing or homosexuality or lesbianism or fornication or adultery, it's all sin in the eyes of God. No one deserves to go to heaven. No, that's not what I said, ma'am. That's not what I said, ma'am. That's not what I said. I said no one deserves to go to heaven. I don't deserve to go. This drunkard doesn't deserve to go. None of us deserve to go.
You don't deserve to go.
He's drunk. Is he not drunk, ma'am? No one's born saved. No one's born saved. Ma'am, they're already judged. Ma'am, they're already judged. Look at that. And out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks, ma'am. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why are you judging me, ma'am? Ma'am, why are you judging me? Ma'am, why are you judging me? Ma'am, you're being a hypocrite. You're flipping, telling me to F off as you're telling me not to judge. He's drunk, ma'am. Liar. People who lie are liars. People who get drunk are drunkards. People who fornicate are fornicators. People who engage in homosexuality are homosexual. People who covet are coveters. People who blaspheme are blasphemers. Is that not true? Is that not true? If a person lies, what are they? They're a liar. Sir, why are you judging me? Why are you judging me? Sir, why are you judging me? Sir! Sir, do you hear the hypocrisy? Why are you judging as you're judging me? You're running in circles, sir. No, sir, I'm not judging anybody. God has already judged. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, the wrath of God already abides on you. That's what the Word of God says. That's what the Word of God says. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you are not a child of God. You are a child of wrath. That's not my opinion. That's what God's Word says. But American Christianity likes to pick and choose what part of the Bible they believe. That part that'll fill the seats. That part that'll fill the pews. That part that'll keep the lights on in these mausoleums to the spiritually disobedient. They call them mega churches. Yeah, you know, people don't like the truth. But it's the truth that will set us free. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. And what the American church has done has made people comfortable with their sin. They say, hey, you're just like us. Come in, join the Christian club. We'll play a little foosball, have a little pizza, watch a rated R movie. It'll all be good. You're just like one of us. And so they raise their hand, they pray a prayer, they walk down an aisle, and they say, I done did that. And they think they're saved. But they're just now twice the sons or daughters of hell that they were before they made the false profession of faith. No one is saved by what they do. If you believe you're saved by what you do, and you call yourself an evangelical, you might as well call yourself Mormon. You might as well call yourself a Jehovah's Witness. You might as well call yourself a Roman Catholic. You might as well call yourself a Muslim. Because you're trying to work your way into heaven like every other false religion does. There is nothing you have done to save yourself. There is nothing you have done to contribute to your salvation. Salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. The prayer you prayed when you were a little boy or girl did not save you. The aisle you walked when you were a teenager and your friends lured you into the church and convinced you to raise your hand, that did not save you. Writing down your name and the date in the back of your Bible when you made a decision did not save you. For salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Now, if you are a genuine follower of Christ, did you make a decision at some point to follow Him? Yes, you did. But that was as a result of God drawing you to Himself. It wasn't a result of your desire to be with Jesus. Because no one seeks after God. Together, they've all become useless. No one does good, no, not one. And if you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you insist that you are a good person, you know not Christ, and you know not His Word. Because there are nicer people in hell today than you and me. No one goes to heaven for being nice. No one goes to heaven for being good. Because God's standard of goodness is moral perfection, and none of us measure up. None of us meet those standards. That's why we need a Savior. And God has provided only one, and that is His Son, Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus plus your good works. It's not Jesus plus going to camp. It's not Jesus plus praying a prayer. It's not Jesus plus growing up in a Christian home. It's not Jesus plus anything. It's Jesus Christ alone. Salvation is by the grace of God alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And there are too many churches in Greenville and in Los Angeles, where I'm from, that are lying to people. That are telling people that they're basically good, but they have a few flaws. That all they have to do is join the Christian club. Eat a little pizza. Have a little foosball. Go get dunked in the pool for the sixth or seventh time, and you will be right with God. That is a lie. It's a lie. Salvation is of the Lord. God determines who will be saved. It's not, I done did that. It is God who says, I will. It is not you that says, I will. It is not you that says, I've done that. It is God who says, I will. The prophet Ezekiel wrote these words in chapter 36. And if you have ears to hear, I pray you will hear how many times in this short passage you hear God say, I will. Therefore say to the house of Israel, this says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God, and I will deliver you from all your uncleanliness, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the trees and the increase of the field abundant, that you may never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. Then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and your abominations. It is not for your sake that I will act, declares the Lord God. Let that be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited, and the waste places shall be rebuilt, and the land that was desolate shall be tilled, instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who pass by. And they will say, this land that was desolate has become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations that are left all around you shall know that I am the Lord. I have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken. I will do it. So if you're living this quasi-Christian life where you believe that you have done something to contribute to your salvation, if in your heart, when you think of Jesus, you're thinking, I done did that, you are still dead in your sin. You have done nothing. It is God who does. It is God who wills. It is God who saves. It is God who destroys. It is God who can take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. You've done did nothing to participate in your salvation. It is entirely the work of God. And if you're still believing the lie of the South, the lie of the Southern Christian Church that says, I done did that, and that's why I'm saved, you remain dead in your sin. But there is still hope. There is still hope in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the one who died for sinners like you and me. You have not died for yourself. You have not cleaned up your act. You have done nothing to make yourself right and presentable to God. God does that because salvation is of the Lord. And He did that miraculous work 2,000 years ago when God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. Unlike you, unlike me, unlike the rest of the world, He never once violated the law of God. He could not, because He was and He is and He always will be the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He lived a perfect life for some 33 years on earth that you and I cannot live for 33 seconds. And then He voluntarily went to the cross. He did it. Jesus said, I will. I will go to the cross. You didn't go to the cross. You done did nothing for your salvation. Jesus said, I will. I will obey the Father. I will shed my innocent blood. I will sacrifice my life on the cross. I will become sin. Even though I knew no sin, Jesus did that work. He voluntarily went to the cross. He shed His innocent blood on that cross. He died a sinner's death, though He knew no sin. And then 3 days later, He forever defeated sin and death when He rose from the grave. Jesus said, I will rise from the dead. I will defeat sin and death. You have not done that. I have not done that. Only Jesus Christ has done that. And He is alive today. And He will return at a time of the Father's choosing. And the only God who can save you, my friends, is the only God who is alive. Muhammad cannot save you. Muhammad is dead. Buddha cannot save you. Buddha is dead. The millions of false gods of Hinduism, the false gods of the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, they cannot save you. They do not exist outside of the sinful minds of the people who created them so that they could deny Christ. And because Jesus shed His innocent blood, because He made perfect sacrifice, perfect propitiation, perfect atonement on that cross for sinners like you and me, He can forgive us, not on the basis of anything we have done in righteousness, but based on His mercy. God said, I will extend grace. I will extend mercy. I will extend love. I will extend forgiveness. You have not done any of that. You have done nothing to save yourself. You have done nothing to participate in your salvation. And if you are going to a church where the pastor is still stroking you on the back and telling you you're a good person, stroking you on the back and telling you how much Jesus needs you, run! Flee! He doesn't need you, sir. He owns you. He owns you like He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns you. He does not need you. He owns you. He created you. He will either save you or He will crush you like powder, sir. And I hope you turn from your sin and put your trust in Christ. Because I don't want you to be crushed like powder. Sir, you will not have a silly drunken smile on your face. In fact, you won't be saying a word. Many people believe that they'll stand before God and say, I will tell God I'm a good person. I will tell God of all my good works. I will tell God of my church attendance. I will tell God of my tithe. I will tell God of working in the soup kitchen. I will tell God of being a youth leader. I will tell God of working Sunday school. I will tell God all these things. You won't say a word. If you stand before God and you are not clothed in the righteousness of Christ, you will not say a word. The day of judgment, my friends, is not a court trial where you get to present a case. It's not a trial where you present evidence of your own perceived goodness. It's not a trial where you call witnesses to testify on your behalf. The day of judgment is a day of sentencing. It's not a court trial. It's a day of sentencing. For if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have already been found guilty. And God is just awaiting to pour out His wrath upon you. But if Christ causes you to be born again, if Christ says, I will forgive your sin, I will take your sin upon myself, I will cause you to be born again, I will make you new, I will take your heart of stone, I will give you a heart of flesh, I will welcome you into my joy, I will welcome you into my kingdom. If the great I Am says I will in your life, you will be saved. And He will forgive your sin. And you will have the assurance of spending eternity with Him in heaven. Not because of anything you've done. You have done, did nothing to earn salvation. You have done, did nothing to make yourself right with God. Only if the great I Am says to the Father on your behalf, I will, will you be saved. The salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is what I want for you. I do not want you to perish in your sin. But so many of you have hearts that are so hard, hearts that are so cold, so stony, so indifferent, so ambivalent, that God is not allowing you to hear His good news tonight. Maybe all you're hearing is God's judgment. Maybe all you're hearing is about the wrath of God. Maybe you've heard nothing of what has been said about God's love. Because God has not said, I will open your ears. Because God has not yet said, I will lift the veil from your eyes. Because God has not yet said of you, I will save you. Did you think that was funny? Did you? What's going to happen to you when you die, young man? What's going to happen to you when you die? How do you know that? No, Orthodox will not save you, young man. Orthodox, Greek Orthodox won't save you either. So we are in a day today that Jeremiah saw 2,600 years ago. Jeremiah spent 40 years of his life called by God to call His people to repent. And they ignored Him. And God's wrath was poured out upon Israel. And my heart breaks for Greenville. Because Greenville is so churched that they have become gospel ignorant. So churched that Greenville has become gospel hardened. Churched. Church, so church that their ears are stopped with their religion. That there is a veil over your eyes of your own perceived goodness. People walking around with shirts, adorning shirts that say, I love my church. A church pastored by a false teacher. A church pastored by a lover of self. They love their church. They love the Christian club. They love the social bennies for being in the church. But yet they hate the Lord of the church. They hate the head of the church, who is Christ. The head of the church is not Perry Noble. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. Stop wearing shirts that say, I love my church. Stop wearing shirts that say, I love Jesus when you're out here playing the drunkard. Stop wearing a cross around your neck when you're dressed like a whore. Quit playing the hypocrite. Quit playing the hypocrite. There are no hypocrites in heaven. There are no go to church on Sunday, live like hell Monday through Saturday people in heaven. He's not a proud person in heaven. For God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. He's not a proud Baptist in heaven. He's not a proud Pentecostal in heaven. He's not a proud Presbyterian in heaven. He's not a proud evangelical in heaven. There's not a proud non-denominational Christian in heaven. There's not a single proud person in heaven. For God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And grace is what we need. And only Christ can provide that. Perry Noble cannot provide you with grace. Muhammad cannot provide you with grace. Muhammad cannot provide you with grace. Oprah cannot provide you with grace. The Pope cannot provide you with grace. Mary cannot provide you with grace. Only Christ can provide you with grace. And that's what we want you to receive. We don't want any of you to receive the wrath of God. We don't want any of you to receive the judgment of God. but you walk by with blind eyes and with stopped ears, and you love your sin. You hear the good news of the gospel, and you profess to be a Christian, and you give the bird to the preacher. You say you love Jesus, and you tear up the gospel tract and throw it in the face of the person who handed it to you. You say you love Jesus while you reek of beer. You say you love Jesus while you can't wait to expose yourself to some guy who just wants to take you to bed and use you. And some of you women will let that happen today. We'll let that happen to you tonight. And then you'll go to church on Sunday and think saying, I'm saved by the blood, will wash you clean. While the night before you laid on a dirty mattress and you trampled through the blood of Christ as you acted like a prostitute. And I don't say this because I hate you. I say this because I love you, and I don't want you to stand before God one day and hear Him say to you, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. I never knew you. This part of the country is filled with so many churches. 900 churches in the greater Greenville area, and half of the attendants are drunk here tonight. But yet you'll go to church tomorrow and you'll tread under your feet the blood of Jesus Christ. And you think that you'll stand before Him and rub your hands together and say, I'm ready for my room in the mansion because I done did that when I was 12. And He will say, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. Come to your senses. God hates sin, and God hates sinners. It is true. It is true. It is absolutely true. This is what American evangelicalism has taught. That God is capricious. That God's love is like that of an adulterer. That God can be bribed. That we can offer God some good works, and God is all loving. That's a lie. God is love. That is true. But God is holy. His love isn't the love you're trying to experience out here tonight with people you don't know. His love is pure. His love is pure. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, who lays down his life for his friends. Jesus didn't say, greater love is no one than this, than he who will lay down in a bed for a one-night stand. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than he who lays down his life for his friends. That's love. So many of you have been lied to by quasi-pastors who want to build a legacy and who have to keep these giant mausoleums, have the lights on and the air conditioning on, so they'll tickle your ears, they'll tell you what you want to hear, to keep you in the seats, not caring that you're on your way to hell. And they call it prosperity. The truth is that God's love cannot be bought and sold. The truth is God does not love like a whore. The truth is God does not love like an adulterer. The truth is God does not love like a high school boyfriend or girlfriend that fall in and out of love every 5 minutes. God's love is such that He allowed His one and only Son to suffer the penalty of His wrath that you and I deserve. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That is love. That's true love. Sadly, most of you will never experience it. And that breaks my heart. It breaks my heart that most of you will never experience that kind of love. Because the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there will find it. And if you're blinded by your love of sin, if you're blinded by your own perceived goodness, if you're blinded by your American style of Christianity, if you're blinded by your love of self, if you're blinded by your love of sin, you actually think you're going to find the narrow way on your own? Come to your senses. Humble yourself. Turn from your sin. Go home. Go to your knees. Seek the Lord while He may be found. And the only ones who will heed that warning are those whom God is drawing to Himself. And I hope that's you. I hope it's you. I hope I will see you in glory in heaven one day. But you must come to God on His terms. God does not negotiate with sinners. God will not negotiate with you. You either repent and receive Christ or you die in your sin. There's no gray area. There's no probation. There's no early good time, work time. There's no early kick out. No parole. It's either heaven or hell. And most of you don't care. Most of you don't care. You're welcome.
I love you.
I love you too. Thank you.